In today's gospel, Jesus reminds the crowd of two incidents where large groups of Jews had suffered terrible calamity. As was common in those days, and still among some people even today, everyone assumed that God was punishing these people because they were some sort of terrible sinners. But Jesus shows the crowd that they're just using this as an excuse for thinking of themselves as not sinners. As if they're saying, well, as long as a building didn't fall on me, then I must be holy. But Jesus says to them, I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. The other day, someone showed me a picture that they had taken of myself at one of the events that we had. I looked at the picture and I asked, who's that old guy wearing the cassock? It's easy to look at other people and see their imperfections and their sins. But it's much harder to look at ourselves and see our own. And if we can't see them, we can't change them. We can't repent, which is what Lent is all about. So today, let's think about one way that we sin, or we can sin every day. Probably the most common thing we do every day is to see. We see our neighbor, ourselves, the world. The gift of vision is one of God's most generous gifts to us, but at the same time, one of the gifts that we take most for granted and abuse. Most of us seldom think about how wonderful it is to be able to see until we start to lose our sight. Think about it. So much of what we learn, understand, and enjoy, so much of what inspires us and motivates us comes to us through our vision. We read with our vision, we look at beautiful art, we watch entertainment plays or movies, we look at our smartphones and computers constantly. We look at other people, the way they act, the way they smile, the way they frown. All day long, we're looking and seeing. And we can't confine ourselves just to our physical vision. There's also what we call our mind's eye, the imagination, where we do really see images very clearly. So that even when we close our eyes, we continue to see. But like all good gifts, the gift of sight can be abused and twisted and turned from good to evil use. What is it that we look at and what do we see? What kind of books and papers do we read? What kind of television and movies do you watch? Where do my eyes go on the internet? And where do I let my mind's eye wander? And how do we look at others, either with the physical eye or with the mind's eye? Do we see them as persons created in the image of God? Do we see in them the image of Jesus himself? Or do we see others as something to use or abuse, an object for hatred, greed, pride, envy, or lust? And also, how do others see us? And how do we try to make them see us? We shouldn't go around doing things just for people to see and to praise us. But when we do things that people do see, they should be seeing good things. We should be showing them good examples. We should even be aware of the way we dress to help others see something good, or to avoid seeing something evil. For example, some people wear uniforms to remind them of their job and that they're available to help others. For example, a policeman dresses in a uniform so you know that he's there to protect you. Or a priest dresses in a cassock to remind you that he's here all the time for you. Now, on the other hand, some people wear clothes to call attention to themselves in order to brag about their wealth or their status, or to boast about their personal holiness or piety, or even to tempt or excite others. For example, we know that so many of women's fashions are designed specifically to catch and to tempt men's eyes. The power of vision is awesome. And this, of course, is no secret. Teachers, artists, authors have always known this. And Hollywood, television executives, advertisers, webmasters, software engineers, and fashion designers know this. And they use it, for good or evil, to draw us to what they want us to learn or to understand or to buy. In effect, they can often use it to manipulate us. Unfortunately, the devil knows all this too. The devil must have had a great time leading people to Siloam to look at that tower that had fallen so he could whisper in their ears, "Look at those bad people, but no tower fell on you. You're a good person. Keep doing these things you're doing." Do you think he doesn't see us when we give a dirty look to the person who angers us, or when we simply refuse to look at the poor or the sick, or looking at another person and seeing them as an object or of envy or lust? You think he doesn't see that and then manipulate that and prey upon us? Do you think even when he doesn't see us thinking of anything in a particular, he whispers in our mind to see a vision of something that we shouldn't be thinking about? On the one hand, this can be kind of frightening and intimidating, and it makes us stop to look carefully at ourselves and the way we use our vision. On the other hand, there is no real need to be frightened or intimidated, because just as we can see all this, God sees it too. He's seen it from the very beginning when he created the universe. As scripture says, he saw everything he had made and beheld that it was very good. He saw it when he made himself known to Moses in the burning bush. As Moses says in today's first reading, "I must go over to look at this remarkable sight." And he understood it when he came among us as Jesus Christ in a body for us to see. Last Sunday we read about the transfiguration, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain where he could let them see his glorified body standing with Moses and Elijah. He did this to strengthen them, because he knew that in a few weeks they would see the horrible vision of him beaten and nailed to a cross. Jesus understands better than anyone the power of sight. And so time after time again, he lets people see his power. Think of all the miracles. Imagine the effect on people when they saw him walking across the water. Imagine how it gripped them and how it stayed with them when he saw a man in the tomb, dead for 4 days, walk out of the tomb wrapped in burial cloths. He knew what the power of vision could do for us in our faith. And he knew about our mind's eye, so that even now, in our imagination, we can see in our mind Lazarus walking out of that tomb. And knowing about our imagination, he not only gave his followers physical signs to see, but also he told them parables with powerful images for their minds to gaze upon, taking complex ideas and letting us see them in very clear images. Next week, he uses the image of the prodigal son who winds up working in a pig pen. This week, he uses the image of a fruitless fig tree in a garden, using the very descriptive language of cultivating and fertilizing and even cutting it down so that we could get the picture of what was happening. But it doesn't take a farmer or a gardener to see these images as clear as we see a high-definition TV. And it doesn't take a priest to understand the imminent need to repent, and to bear fruit. In his wisdom, Jesus has passed this appreciation of the power of vision on to his church. We see this expressed in the sacred art of the church that leads us to understand the mysteries of the life of Jesus and his saints. We look at these glorious stained glass windows. We look at the statues of the apostles above us. We look at the stations of the cross hanging over the altar, and we realize the power of vision that the church understands. We see it even in the architecture of the church. This church is built in the shape of a cross, and that has a permeating effect on us. The cross, that we are the body of Christ nailed to the cross. That the Eucharist is right at the heart of the cross. And we look up and we see this ceiling that goes up and up and up. That costs us so much money to replace the lights. But we look up and we see heaven. That's what that's about. It's lead us to look up into heaven. Power of vision. And we see it in the different vestments and the sacred vessels we use and the candles and even the smoke, incense rising up around the altar. We especially see it in this very special holy season. In Lent, we begin by seeing the ashes on our foreheads on Ash Wednesday. Powerful sign to ourselves and to others that Lent has begun. And when you continue to see it in the sparseness of the decorations, not by what we see, but by what we don't see. We don't see any flowers. Must be Lent. We see it in the stark violet of the vestments. We see it as we visit the station of the cross. And we see it in the pageantry of Holy Week. From the palms and procession of Palm Sunday to the procession on Holy Thursday to watch and pray with Jesus, to the one cross held out to be approached and kissed, as we see in that cross an image of our Lord's love for us. When we see it in the books and the movies that lay before us images of Christ's passion, inviting us to see with our own eyes, even if only the eyes of imagination, enlightened by the eyes of faith, the depth of his love poured out in the blood that comes from the scourges on his back, the thorns in his head, the nails and hands in his feet, and the sword in his side. To see with our own eyes the fact that by his wounds we were healed. And all year long we see it in the sacraments and sacramentals of the church. We especially see it in the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, where we see him truly standing before us, but under the veil of an appearance of bread. And of all this, of course, leads us here to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where all the holy things we've seen come together, and we see with our physical eyes and understand with our mind's eye and the eyes of faith as we look upon the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord made present truly on the altar. The gift of vision is one of the most beautiful gifts God gives us. But like all good gifts, we human beings, with our free wills, can use our vision very badly. Lent is a time to consider how we use God's gifts badly, sinfully. A time to see clearly that we can be just as bad a sinner as anyone else. A time to look at our lives and see all the ways we fail to appreciate God's gifts and abuse them the way we sin. This year, look especially at the way you fail to appreciate the gift of sight, both through the physical eye and the mind's eye. See how powerful this gift is, for good and for evil. And remove any image you see which leads you or others away from Jesus, and replace it with a vision that leads all people to him. Fix your eyes this Lent on Jesus Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.